So now we have Metro Tower. This project is at the sketch plan phase. You haven't seen this one before. And we will have about a 10 to 15 minute presentation from the applicant team. The panel will discuss, and then we will have a straw vote on public benefit points as well as the project itself. So if you would like to introduce. I'm sorry. And Chow Joy is recusing herself from the project because she's on the development team for this project.
Okay. Thank you and good morning. I'm Mary Beth Avedishan. I'm the Senior Vice President of Development for Stahl Centers, and that's an affiliate of the VS Stahl Company. Recently, we purchased a five-story office building, vintage 1960s, in downtown Bethesda at 7316 Wisconsin Avenue, and we became the contract purchaser of the adjacent property, which has a two-story building on it. It's referred to as commercial unit number two of the One Bethesda Center condominium. Today, we'd like to share with you our vision for this combined site, which we're calling Metro Tower, a 25-story apartment building with ground floor retail. But first, I'd like to just give you a little background on our firm. The VS Stahl Company was founded in 1892. We're a locally based business headquartered in this building, which we developed in downtown Bethesda, 7501 Wisconsin Avenue. We have in-house expertise in all facets of commercial real estate ownership, property management, leasing, development, and construction. But more importantly, we're a legacy developer, and what that means, as far as what you might be interested in, is that we build properties and intend to hold them in our portfolio virtually forever. As a result, we build an exceptionally high level of quality into our projects in terms of the materials and finishes and systems. We want them to be enduring so that they have a long-lasting design appeal and architectural appeal to the marketplace, as well as for long-term maintenance purposes. So to exemplify that, in addition to this building, which is somewhat of a landmark in downtown Bethesda, the next slide shows a few of the other projects that we've developed in the region. The new wing of the Kennedy Warren Apartments off of Connecticut Avenue in the district. The Clarendon Center and Lang Place Apartments located adjacent to the Clarendon Metro Station. Down here in the lower left corner, Park Van Ness overlooks Rockley Park in the district. Now these three projects are existing. They're all standouts in their neighborhoods. And they've all won design awards of excellence for their architecture. This last project here, the Waycroft, will be the next gem in our portfolio. It's under construction at the corner of Wilson and Glebe in the Ballston submarket of Arlington, and we hope that it too will be award-winning when it finishes in 2020. On these and other projects that we've developed, we've engaged members of the design team that we have here today. Torti Gallis, represented by John Torti, Roadside Harwell, represented by Elliot Roadside, and Vika, represented by Ian Pugh. Here we are. These parties were engaged for this project because they're creative, they're passionate about what they do, and we're confident they're going to help us deliver the project with Metro Tower as successful as these projects. But we don't take the selection of our architect lightly. We typically hold design competitions, and we did so in the case of Metro Tower. Five very well-known architects in the fields were invited to participate in a competition. And the winner of that competition, Torti Gallis, wowed us with a video presentation of their vision for this site. And I'd like to show you a brief clip of that video today, and then I'm going to turn immediately the presentation over to John Torti, who will talk about the business, the building design, and then Elliot will speak about the site design. So roll it.
Thank you. That was perfect.
Puccini will forgive all of us, but that is the building. That is the building that we won the commission with, and that is the building that we're proceeding with. Our presentation here, by definition, devolves the building to deal with the requirements of the master plan and the urban design guidelines of the master plan. We believe that we are within all of that, so let's get started. I have 3.5 minutes left, so that means you have 2 minutes. We know where the building is on Wisconsin, between Elm and Hamden Lane, and this becomes the dance of the 100% corner of Bethesda. At one time, I remember the triangle being the place, and then it was Bethesda Row, and then it's East-West Highway and Wisconsin Avenue. So the new confluence of the purple line and the red line make this a very special place. The tower itself and the site itself is very long and very narrow, and the competition was literally done on a smaller site.
Don't touch.
I know I have to go faster. Don't touch it. Okay.
Don't even get close.
Well, it was done on a smaller site, and then since we've won the competition, the soil companies have purchased or come to agreement with the owner of this building to add that portion of the low-rise building, the clock tower, the brick jiggity-jaggity stuff, and the redevelopment of the plaza to this puzzle. And Elliot will talk much more eloquently about that, but bottom line, the plaza gets bigger, becomes more meaningful, and allows our building to literally have no backside. There's all fronts, and that's a good thing, and it's also, where does the trash come out? I think the role this building has in the context of the city is very important. It completes the new Metro Square on the north side, and it gives the city a potentially very active plaza, because the uses around our building and the potential new uses at the ground floor on the plaza of the existing building. You know, the site, go. The interconnected pathways, including the plaza and the new connection, you know better than I do, but just understand that we think it's an important set of connections and places for Bethesda that, my last phrase, really connect the triangle, old Georgetown, Wisconsin, and Bethesda Row all back to this place. And I think that that's an important urban design, citizen living thing for this.
Okay, thank you. I'm Elliot Roadside. The next part of the presentation is about the plaza and the streetscape and how it fits within the overall urban design and open space framework. John mentioned the plaza.
Go ahead.
And the series of open spaces that are an important part of downtown Bethesda. So as he showed, the plaza is in a very important location, as well as the streetscape being right near 100% corner. And as it is set up, it's both a pass-through kind of place and also a focal point place that's part of downtown Bethesda. The next slide looks at some of the key things that structure the way the open spaces will fit within the overall framework of downtown Bethesda. It will be a well-defined space by the condominium on the west and by the Metro Tower. By the Metro Tower.
Stand back, man.
On the east, and it's also a very prominent location regarding its connections to the overall framework downtown. There are active frontages, as John said, on four sides of Metro Tower building and also the condominium. So it has an important opportunity about being a focal point place, and it is highly visible within the framework of the block and then outside the block. John mentioned the existing plaza, the proposed extension to it, and then the existing building. Elm Street on the south, Hampton Lane on the north. The next slide shows some views. I think coming in from Hampton Lane, it's very restricted looking south. There will be, I think, dramatic views to the buildings to the south and to the metro complex. There's tremendous opportunity to build upon the grade change on Elm Street. In our thinking so far, that becomes an important gateway element. And you can see how restricted the open space is of the plaza as it currently exists. The next slide shows the existing plaza, which is about 4,700 square feet. And with this addition, it becomes about 9,200 square feet. So the plaza opens, and then it opens to the south and has great solar orientation and obviously connection throughout its area.
And not only a connection for the new plaza on Wisconsin, but also a very good visual and smaller physical connection back to Bethesda Row. So there's a connectivity that's going on here that I think is key to the way this building site starts to behave as a citizen of the neighborhood.
So there are some important programmatic aspects that set up the design for the plaza and for the streetscape. There are two gateways, one at the north end of the plaza. The south, we think because of its proximity to Metro, this should be a more dynamic gateway. And with its grade change has important opportunities to be extra special. There are potential focal points on the north, the south, and particularly in the middle where it creates its place. And then as a pass-through, it links to all the streetscapes and then to Metro and can be a really pleasant place, as other open spaces are in downtown Bethesda, to walk through and experience what's happening in that place. And then there are opportunities for special paving at the entranceways to the lobby and then also obviously in the plaza. So, beginning to develop the design for this, we developed this programmatic diagram where there's a gateway and then a larger gateway, more important gateway and overlook. Along Elm Street, there are opportunities for a major focal point in the center of the plaza, and then opportunities for seating all the way around it and movement through the plaza, and then connections for the streetscape and the beginnings of the delineation of the streetscape per the downtown design guidelines that work with the building and with the open spaces in downtown Bethesda. So the next slide shows some precedents of the way we're beginning to conceptualize the way the elements of the plaza would be developed. We think water can be a very important element and be both decorative and activated, so it becomes a destination in and of itself. Regarding furniture, there are opportunities for fixed furnishings integrated into the elements of the plaza, as well as movable furniture, which we've learned from lots of places, both locally and nationally. The more you have opportunities to move furniture around, the more you create a humanistic open space, which is our goal for the project. There are opportunities for dining, for retail along the edges, be a comfortable place to have as a destination. And then there are opportunities for really beautiful paving patterns in this. So that is the end of mine, and I'm sure you have questions about why there's not a design, which Mary Beth will answer.
So to complete the architecture part above grade, this is our envelope. It's 250 feet high. We come in from the curbs 15 feet on the two smaller streets, and 25 feet on Wisconsin. Next slide. The same kind of you know, ghostly imagery with basic massing of our building, looking from Wisconsin Avenue, but also looking from the west to the east. This is going to be an important facade in our building, and gets great views from the Woodmont, Bethesda Row area. So, my wife is not, just ignore it or push whatever you push. Sorry. That's enough.
Send his love.
Yeah, I should have shut the phone. I apologize. I apologize. So the base middle top idea is alive and well in this building. We do want to take advantage of a sort of a no step back rule at the centerpiece at the front of the building, coming straight down to Wisconsin. We think it's a good place to do that and a powerful place to do that. Otherwise, the base wraps the building. The 10-foot setback, we have an average setback of about 11 feet around the building. Some places it's less than 10 feet, and most places it's more than 10 feet. The middle of the building is going to be Art Deco-like in character, as you can obviously see, and it offers us a great variety of openings and facade designs that are in the process of being developed. And then the top will allow us to put a crown on the building with the active penthouse level, which is about 20 feet above the 250-foot mark. Next. The elevation of Wisconsin Avenue and how this building fits into the other buildings that are in process or soon to be in process. Next. The view from above, showing the various setbacks from the edge, the curb, the base, the lowest level of the tower, and so on and so forth. The notion of the competition piece, which has essentially remained the same in its massing, the upper part of the building is that piece. So the as we come to the west, we step down in deference to what's going on to the west and to the sun and to the plaza, and it allows for a continuation of what we believe is a beautifully proportioned building. Next. How it works, this is the ground plane. What I think is red, no, orange, is all retail. We service from the north, we go to the cars from the south. The center of the building has a through lobby and support features for the residents, but the building has a very active frontage on all sides, and I think that that's important. And the quality of the retail and in the buildings we've been involved with the Saul companies, they've always come through with very, very good retail at the base that's consistent with what we all want the city to be. So this can be a very destination place, as much as this becomes a destination place. This one for traveling, this one for meeting your wife and saying, I'm sorry, I said what I said. Next.
When you called during that presentation.
Yeah. The sections of the building. This is a color rendering that we did at the competition. The building is morphing ever so slightly in its development. And then the more dramatic view of the building. I'm done. I'm ready for questions. Please know that we are doing this building with the notion that it becomes an important contributor and a very important site in the city. Questions? I have more slides, but only if they involve the questions.
I always go first. I'm gonna defer to someone else's time.
You're our keynote.
Go ahead, keynote.
Are there any waivers or any requests like that being asked for here, or is it all compliant with the design guidelines?
I think we're compliant with the design guidelines. We came in and talked to the planning staff earlier on when we first were awarded. And this notion about the 10-foot setback from the platform, we knew because our site is so narrow and also squished at the east end, we knew that we would have liked a little bit of adjustment, so we followed that suggestion that if we looked at an average of that 10 feet, we would be in good shape. So that's what we've done.
I do have an obvious question. Why the landscape plan?
Oh, I can answer that. You mean for the plaza itself?
Yeah, I mean, and I'll be honest with you, you're asking for 30 points, but obviously a key to that is really what's the landscape development.
Yeah, the plaza is a very sensitive area. The streetscape, not so. I mean, that's pretty straightforward with the street trees and whatnot, which we have on a plan that Elliot's firm has provided. Just not as a presentation because it sort of goes hand in hand with the plaza design. The plaza design is still in advanced stages, and we have a number of parties that we have to have sign off on it before we can go public with it, not the least of which is Mr. Saul himself. And then once he's on board with it, then we'll go public with the, well, not public, we'll go semi-public, to the adjacent property owners who are part of the One Bethesda Center condominium. We want to make sure they're okay with what we're going to do with the condominium. And once we've got that, all that buy-in, then we'd be happy to come back over here and meet with staff and share that plan with you. We're very close to having that that done. I would say probably 2 weeks off.
Relative to that, so if you go back to the plan for the section where you had the plaza diagrams.
That one?
Yeah, and so obviously there's a huge development happening on the other side of Elm Street. What happens directly across Elm Street in that development? Is there some kind of relationship? Do you know what the details are associated with that and engagement?
We do. Would you like me to try to explain them?
Sure.
Primarily because they are not a four-sided building. There's a sidewalk,
right,
and a plaza. I need another.
The
plaza
is up there. Yeah. Right.
Actually,
this is as good as, yeah. I'll go here so more people can see. So there's a sidewalk and a plaza. We have our entrances to our building. All right.
There we go.
We have our entrances, our north and our south entrance building directly across the plaza. We have a very large store. We think of it as the Apple Store, but the real Apple Store is at the end of the other Tortugalis access in Bethesda.
It's the old Blockbuster Store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, got good memories. So I think the best part of this relationship is this walkway, steps, and path that comes up alongside the backside of the car building. This piece of the car building is their garage entrance.
That's what we're getting at.
Yeah. Right.
So. It is that side of the car building, but what we were excited about, and having been involved in the Bethesda plan and seeing all the effort that went into getting the urban plaza across from the Barnes and Noble Plaza by the Purple Line station, there's going to be a really good connection to that. Right now, you all know there's the Federal Surface parking lot there that has kind of that back stairwell tucked down that takes you to the movie theater, and people still have managed to find that and use that. Carr, having noticed that, is really going to improve that connection and create a more formal stairwell there that connects. So our plaza, where that red arrow goes, will connect down to Bethesda Row, to that plaza, and to the other side of the Purple Line station. So, you know, while you're not looking at something fantastic, that connection is really there, and we feel that those two plazas and the Metro and our plaza work together. So the three kind of work as a good triangular network there.
They haven't mentioned it, but I would like
to
say it. We've done a lot of review on this building. Of course. There are two residential towers and one office tower. This little gap right there is the separation between the two residential towers. So actually, when you come through this plaza, you're actually looking at an opening between the two residential towers right there.
And I think there may also be
a garage opening.
No, the garage is further east.
There's a garage here. I think they have a second. I think they may have a residential entrance there or an access to the. I think there may be.
I think that's right.
The residential comes up in the plaza and up some stairs.
I think they have both.
I thought there was something on Elm Street. I mean, it's as you know, Elm Street goes down, and you'll have you know the Purple Line station and the parking garage, and you know the entrance to their garage. And then I think there may be another entrance to the building.
I think that's right.
The issue is, are we advocating jaywalking with these red arrows? And the answer is yes. So where are the crosswalks, and where? How do you really see people moving across these streets?
I think the obvious, and we explored that in the early part of our work, was kind of that direction. Because there'll be people coming from the north through the plaza, crossing through. So we have some thoughts about it, and I think as we begin to develop our work with staff and with yourselves, we'll look at how the street and connections will work. I think one of the reasons in the program that we developed, the program diagram, you want to show that? We explored the next one. We explored different possibilities in this bubble. Should that be like an amphitheater or something that focuses out there? But the view will be attractive. It'll be urbane, etc. But we felt that the focus needs to be here, and this is part of the passage through. That there will be something special there and something special here. But the high point is in the middle, related to both buildings and to the space around it.
So we're dropping 5 feet from the gateway overlook to Elm Street, about 5 feet.
And there's an artwork in the plaza right now that steps down. It's kind of like an amphitheater. I don't know if it was ever used. That was a program idea we had in the beginning of the design process. And we eliminated that because they're so rarely used that there can be beautiful steps making the transition. And we have to have smooth accessibility coming in. So we explored a lot of ways, and we think we've got it nailed.
To go back, you want to talk about jaywalking a little bit? Mm-hmm. Okay. It's an interesting thing that's going on in Hamden and Elm, and the fact that those streets have a dual geometry. They both turn at about this place, so this becomes a knuckle in the street, and adding a crosswalk at the appropriate place in and around that knuckle, not a bad thought.
You have it above, yeah.
Yeah.
See, to the north, you have it. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is, this piece of Bethesda has been sort of like forgotten land for a long, long time. So the development and thought about how that occurs and exactly where it occurs, I think, is an important piece to consider as we go forward. I believe, you know, you don't get all of this urbanism at these densities without some liberties in terms of pedestrians and streets.
Elm is not a heavily trafficked street.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people that come through that plaza
a lot of people
all the time.
Right.
Jaywalk currently.
Oh yeah.
So it's a good thought if you can fit that in. I think it's a great idea.
Well, I think it's a good comment from you guys. You know, let's complete the thought.
Right.
Yeah, the civil engineer is greeting with a big smile over there.
I'm really crying. I think the building is coming along very nicely, I must say. I like the Connecticut Avenue building.
Thank you
very much. And
Have you saved up enough money to eat in the restaurant?
No, no, no. I have to rob a bank for that.
They have great drinks.
Yeah, I actually think
the proportions.
Proportions are good.
Are very elegant, particularly the very narrow aspect ratio on Wisconsin Avenue. It's very nice.
And I think it should meet the ground.
Yeah,
on Wisconsin. So the setbacks, I think, are appropriate. Mm-hmm. And I think addressing how it meets the sky is very important. And you've done that, I think. You've started that.
And all of this discussion is getting more real every day. We have a major client presentation coming up, as Mary Beth suggested, in a week or two. And once that blessing gets done, and my wife forgives me, we'll be okay.
I like it. I think you meet the design guidelines as you went over. There's a top, middle, and base here. I think the concept of the overall plan with the plaza, it sounds like you guys are on the right path there, and looking forward to seeing more details about that. So I like it.
I think this is the first building on Wisconsin where we haven't had to question the setbacks. So that's very nice.
Yeah,
and very little frontage too.
Yeah, and I think the narrowness of the size
helps.
This plaza is going to be a very key point, I think, in the 30 points that's being requested, and I'm very happy that it's widening, and I think it's going to be a great space, and I hope the diagram you guys showed of trying to link it essentially to the metro station all the way to your site and then further is great. And I hope that whole connections someday will improve, and this will be these two plazas will be a very important part of starting to get that to improve. And I the proportions of building, I think the activation at the first floor is very good, on all four sides. It's difficult to do that. Four fronts, but I think you've done it very well. So, I think this is coming along very well.
A couple comments that you are asking for 30 design points.
Why?
There's a lot of aspirational comments in the presentation. There's no landscape plan. There's indications of low impact development, and I think ultimately for us to concur with whether that 30 points is appropriate or not, or those are things that.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
We'd be happy to show
it's hard to believe that you need 30 points in order to make this thing go. Do you really need 30 points?
I mean, to be honest with you, because we have agreed to 30 points on all very few projects.
On, I think, only one, I think.
I thought it's two.
Two?
What's that, two?
Two.
Yeah. Normally, it's like 10 that people are asking for because they've done other things in order to.
Do they need 30 points?
We are studying the.
But I think if all the elements that they are talking about, if we finally see something that responds to that, then it's on the right track to get those 30 points. Yeah. We hope they would all be incorporated into the plan.
I guess what I'm hearing, there's no serious objections to the project.
This is early in the process.
Yeah, it's sketch plan, right?
Yeah, you guys get two or three more. Well, I don't know if you guys, the county gets, two or three more whacks at this as we go through the process. And at the bottom line is what Mary Beth said, I'd like to echo. Just go look at the work that they own.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing shabby about any of it, and it's all, in my mind, exemplary. And mantra within their company is the bigger driver of it all. And the bigger mantra is called Mr. Frank Zoll.
So just one other comment is Elm Street in the past has been a very quiet street.
That's right.
But with the Purple Line Station, with the major development happening there, I doubt it's going to be a quiet street in the future to the project's advantage, to the details.
I was thinking about this driving up this morning and thinking about the Widmont Triangle, the Bethesda Row, the Metro Center. So in all of the evolutions of Bethesda over the last several decades, they've been kind of episodic and focused activity in this node or that node or this node, and because of the unbelievable densification of this particular plan and the mixed-use nature of it and the transit nature of it, there's an opportunity for Bethesda to kind of become a midtown, you know, glued together in a continuum that's never really occurred before.
Well, I mean, to jump onto that, you know, kind of the heart and soul of Bethesda in recent years has been Bethesda Row, and now it's going to be moving out to Wisconsin. And Wisconsin, as I mentioned to our group before you came in, has been a highway through Bethesda. With all these developments, it's going to change. It's going to be changed to become a city street, not a highway through.
Right. The next time we see this, we should probably see all the abutting properties on the other side of Elm Street and how they relate to the plaza, where you're going to have them advocating crosswalks, etc., as well as openings, and where you're going to take up this 5 feet difference, whether it's all the way to the south or all the way to the north. I mean, there's lots of places where you're going to be able to deal with that 5 foot change, and I think that's going to be very important.
Yeah, the grade change in the south is very beneficial for the design because it makes a very elegant transition from Elm up to the plaza. So we've incorporated that.
Two points on that. One is that there is a garage under this now, so that isn't changing.
Right.
So guess what? The bigger grade transition is going to occur more to the south, and the big benefit to that is that it allows a building to plaza relationship as barrier free, total access, and we're certainly putting very high ceiling retail along there, and all of a sudden this building now, instead of having sort of created barriers between this space and the building, has a fluid potential of using that space and that space as accessible restaurant space, and who wouldn't do that over a travel agency.
Right.
A travel agency.
I just want to mention kudos to Saul Company for pursuing the small building and removing it and opening it up. I mean, having been involved in the original building, that was always a big stymie point on us because we couldn't get rid of it. So you didn't have to do that, but you did, and by the consequence, the creating a much wider, larger plaza, which is going to be very, I think, popular and used. That's well worth a lot of those extra 30 points, in my opinion.
And the seller of this space, just a little tail out of school, I don't think you'll mind, selected the Saul Company because that person understood they were going to get a great job. I mean, that's a fact.
Excellent, Josh.
Go ahead. I'm not the pedigree of degrees around the table that you're engaging with, but just curious about lease expirations, Vince, in terms of whether, this is a very aspirational project. I think there's a great deal of excitement about making this happen in concert with the project to the south of it. But lease expirations, is there any impediment to execution, or do you have a free pathway to execute the plan pretty quickly once the approvals are in place?
Yeah, we're working through that now. Chevy Chase Land had contemplated redeveloping it themselves, even entered into the Marriott sweepstakes, if you will. So a lot of that discussion that coupled with the lovely construction next door, it's not a very habitable place at the moment. So we're in discussions with all those tenants now and have no fear that that's going to be an impediment.
The crane is on the critical path, actually. The crane that's there now. It's in the street, and building the big hole in the, and so we need that crane to go away before we can do our tower.
When's the crane going away?
We go to church and pray hard, occasionally.
Okay, we can't let you off without one critical comment, if you don't mind. If you are interested in sustainability
spotlight going up into the air. Oh, I love those kind of entrances.
Yeah.
But yeah, obviously it's a counter to the night sky mission.
Well taken.
We have them set on a timer at our headquarters building. There's a similar feature, and it goes off at 10. In fact, the neighborhood alerted me when the timer was broken, and we had that adjusted the next day. So we're sensitive to that, but we do think it's an important element to the building and that giving it that dramatic crown that you're talking about.
I couldn't resist the low hanging
referential to
a
golden age, right?
Is it likely you'll have restaurant experiences that will spill onto the plaza? That's something you're considering, or is it too early in the discussion?
Absolutely. That's how we've envisioned it. We think that's going to be a great place for cafe seating and great place to hang out and a little respite from the activity there on Elm that will happen.
The sidewalk to the north of Hampton Lane is very, very narrow, and so you're going to get a lot of traffic on your side. Seem to me. Is that going to be redeveloped?
The lot for the empty gas station.
Right.
Your rendering shows a building there. Is that?
That was a previously approved site plan.
Yeah.
And I think once the sector plan allowed for greater density, that's probably going to be shelved and something will come to at some point. But at the point that they put the rendering together, that's really what was on the books.
All right.
George knows this, so I just want everybody else to know this. You don't get a building of this beauty without a great team. So I'd like to recognize my partner, Danielle Ashtare, and Jeremy Sharp, among others. Great landscape group with us that all adds up to make a great place.
All right, are there any other comments from the panel?
I like the building a lot. I'd just like to note as a pedestrian that Montgomery County has a Vision Zero plan, and I really think those crosswalks are very important for some means of allowing safe crossing of the streets.
And I was just going to ask about the development to the north, because I noticed that in the rendering, but also, and I don't say this very often, but I love this project. I love this building.
You can say it.
Say again.
So from what we've seen so far, it looks great.
So just to summarize, it sounds like the panel is very pleased with the direction of the project, but that if the project is going to try to achieve 30 public benefit points, the plaza design is critical, and we definitely need to see more detail on how you're achieving the aspirations of the design. Are there any other big picture topics that you think?
Well, and also add to that, also what the materials of the building are.
Right.
Oh, what materials are
the building? Naturally.
Well, we're talking about masonry. We've said the L word a few times, limestone for the base. Though that's gonna have to pass a pro forma test before we can commit to that. But most definitely, the tower elements will be masonry construction, precast accents, I would imagine. Very similar. What we're building in Arlington right now, like the project that I mentioned earlier.
There's nothing wrong with masonry.
No.
Well, she didn't say it was stuck, though.
Drive it. Drive it building.
That's the one thing about having a great one. You don't have to go through those tortures.
No value engineering.
We done?
Not quite yet. So it sounds like the panel already commented on public benefit points. You feel that they would be able to reach the minimum 10? Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
And then we just need a straw vote from the panel whether or not you support the project. So first, if you support the project, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, so everyone is in support as a straw vote for now. All right, great. So we'll see this again at site plan. Thank you all.